In the name of Jesus, amen. Exactly, Sophie and Violet. Rejoice, for you are favored ones, and the Lord is indeed with you. It has been a really long time when you think about it. Sometimes it's even hard to even remember the promise. By now, surely many have forgotten it. Their eyes no longer see it. Their hands no longer pray for it. Their heart no longer believes that it is even possible. And then there are others. Others find it hard to recall this promise through all the suffering and the shame and the sin that they've endured since it was first spoken that fatal day. In despairing of any future, in the absence of the ear that listens to the words and promises of God, creatures of God do what they want to do. They justify their sin and their mayhem by all kinds of names. Names like progress and freedom and self-growth. After all, how can they remember the promise of a child if they do not even know how a child is made today? And recklessly sow their seed in vile and immoral ways, and women with fury and frustration reject and curse their very own Holy of Holies. For generations now, it really does seem that God's gospel seed will never be born. That dark was the night when the angel Gabriel came to Mary, when he came to us. And that long-forgotten promise that the seed of the woman would crush the head of the serpent, that promise is once again spoken through the angel Gabriel to Mary. "Behold, Mary," he says, "you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. And he will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." So now that your ears have heard it again, now that your eyes long for to see it again, now that your hands now pray for it again, now that your heart believes that all things are possible with God, even though everything with you is impossible and your fellow men, the seed that grows within Mary's Holy of Holies will deliver you and all men from the curse that hangs over our flesh and our creation. The seed, the Holy One, the Savior, is taking root into our earth. By the gracious word of God and through the flesh of a frightened and humbled and puzzled maiden. Consider what grace this is. Consider what joy shall fill your heart for such a gift as this, that God is soon to be with you. And not just by your side, but in your flesh and in your blood. That is why you rejoice this morning with Mary, to hear the words that the angel Gabriel preaches to her. "For the time has now come that God shall dwell with man, in order that man shall dwell with God forever." And this, my friends, is the first great mystery of the Christian faith, the doctrine of the Incarnation. That is to say that the God Most High takes upon himself our humanity. He robes himself in our humanity. He puts our flesh and blood on for the purpose of redeeming us. This is the very mystery that is discussed in Hebrews chapter 10. For it tells us that when Christ came into the world, quote, the sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but a body you have prepared for me. In other words, all the blood of the goats and the bulls that were sacrificed on all those Old Testament altars was not enough. There needed to be a greater, holier, more wonderful, all-sufficient sacrifice. And that sacrifice is the very body of Jesus Christ. Which tells us that you cannot divorce the crib from the cross. They're forever linked together. Jesus is laid in a manger precisely that he might hang on a cross. Jesus placed in the hay so that he precisely may lay in a rock-hewn tomb. And he's giving his body and his blood so that he would have something to give, a price to pay for our redemption and our salvation. Jesus cannot be without body. And his birth cannot be understood apart from his death and his resurrection. Now the one that's promised to Mary, we are told, will have the name Jesus, which, as you may well know, means the Lord saves. And this is why the preaching of the angel Gabriel to Mary is comforting to us. That it can be applied for our own comfort. Not in the sense, as you might think, that we're going to all conceive children. I mean, men perish the thought, right? That's not the application here. When we read the Bible, we must not apply to ourselves that which is not for us. So, for example, like later in Luke's Gospel, we have St. Simeon, and he takes the child Jesus in his arms, and he prays the Nunc Dimittis. Then he tells Mary, you know what, Mary? A sword will pierce your soul also. That promise is particular to Mary. And it's fulfilled in her lifetime. But this promise of this child, Jesus, is not just for Mary. It's for all of us. The Lord who saves all of us. So that's why Gabriel says, rejoice. You are a highly favored one. The Lord is with you. You are blessed. And then later he'll say in the text, do not be afraid. You have found literally grace with God, not just favor, but grace with God. And Mary is comforted by these blessed truths. And you also are to be comforted by these blessed truths. Because I don't know how you're feeling at this time of Christmas. I know how I'm feeling, but I do not know how you are feeling. Perhaps some of you are very, very happy and very excited for a very holly jolly Christmas, and you cannot wait to open those presents. Maybe you're gearing up to rock around that Christmas tree tonight. I don't know. But maybe it's completely different. Maybe Christmas only heightens the painful absence of loved ones, the empty chairs and tables and beds and the absence of sounds that you used to hear in your house that would lighten your darkness, and you do not hear them anymore. I mean, when all is dressed in this whimsical joy and these enchanting lights and everyone's singing and all you may feel is sorrow and darkness, and a blue Christmas is your only present. I think it's fair to say that there are so many feelings and thoughts at the time of Christmas that crowd and push away this blessed truth. That the Holy Child, Jesus, is born for us and brings us eternal joy and peace and new life, even now. And so to you who are tempted to sorrow, who lament over the sin of your life and how it has gone with you, over the broken condition of your fellow man in this fractured world, and that things have not gone very well. The angel says to you, rejoice. Not greetings, not Hallmark greetings, rejoice. You are favored by God. And that is out of pure grace. Because of God's grace, you are given grace. This child is born for you. This child is robed in your flesh, and from this holy child, he will save you and all who receive his word and water and blood. To you who feel despised by God, forgotten and left to the curve of humanity, maybe do you feel that God doesn't hear your prayers, or that he doesn't care about what is good that he has said that you should desire, and it is not happening? That he has some sort of axe to grind, and you are the sharpening stone upon which he is grinding his sharp-edged sword. To you, the angel says, the Lord is with you. You are blessed. It's a state of being. It's not something that you ever achieve or you get to by way of feelings. You are blessed. And so Jesus says, he feels your flesh. He knows every care and every concern and every worry and every cry of your heart. No matter how young you are, no matter how old you are. He knows what it is like not simply to be a man, as if he just simply put on our flesh and he's like, oh, this is really nice. I think I'll keep this. No. He took on our flesh precisely to bear the burdens and the sufferings and the deadliness of that flesh. He gladly wore it, knowing that he would die with it. And to those who are tempted at being afraid, that's very easy, as you know. Fear is a great motivator. It's a great manipulator of people. Fear of getting sick, fear of dying, fear of losing a job, or fear of losing your mind and all your memories with it. Fear of not loving or giving or having sacrificed enough. Fear that the weight of the world rests upon your shoulders and that you must fix it all. The angel says to you, do not fear. And to those who worry and struggle with anxiety, this might be the most pernicious, insidious temptation of them all. Because we all know that we have not lived up to the standards that God has for us. And if we are truly honest with ourselves, there is a sense of facing Judgment Day with a certain sense of apprehension. But the angel says to us in our worry and in our anxiety, look, you have found grace with God. Not just favor, you found grace with God. And this grace is not mixed with grit. This grace is not mixed with your good intentions. This grace is not mixed with the sweat of your brow. No, this is undeserved grace. This is grace that you receive and you rejoice in, and that you see the smiling face of God because you behold the face of Jesus, who is the face of God. Yes, it has been very long since that promise was first spoken. Our memory of that first gracious promise is very much clouded by suffering and sin and guilt and a host of other things that have torn us away from believing and holding fast to that promise. But here is grace. God has never, ever forgotten that promise that he first spoke to our race, to send his Son and to save us. And so now the angel Gabriel comes again and preaches that first promise, now fulfilled, coming into the world by his word and through a virgin's womb into our ear. And we rejoice. And we're favored by God. We are graced by God. We are blessed children of God. And so now, no matter how things go with us, God now sees to it that our generations are eternal. That dark was the night when the angel Gabriel came to us. But now that we hear again the promise of eternal life, and that Christ is born of Mary and is of our flesh, bright and eternal is our day. Rejoice, you highly favored ones. Indeed, the Lord is with you. In the name of Jesus, amen.